Hello and welcome to another episode of Let Us Talk. My name is Leon, you know me from the last episode, and today we are with two new hosts and one new guest, and they would also like to introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Anastasia. I'm new here in VSA, in the podcast committee. I'm Russian and I'm working in sustainable tourism, very much passionate about sustainability and mindfulness, and very excited about today's topic.
Nice. What's your favorite animal?
Very good question. Let's say fox.
The fox. Yeah. And we also have Rita. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Rita. I'm from Portugal. I'm on the second year of the VSA Association. And I'm doing a master's degree in music. And I'm also really passionate about sustainability. And I might say that I don't have a favorite animal because they are all lovely. So, yeah, that's it.
Very diplomatic answer. All right, and today our guest is Felix, an effective altruist. So Felix, who are you? Would you like to introduce yourself as well?
Yeah, I'm Felix. Thank you for inviting me and giving me the possibility to talk about effective altruism and effective animal advocacy. And I studied political science and mathematics and now work as a business consultant and donating a significant part of my income to animal charities. And I don't know if I have a favorite animal, but perhaps I can say, as I was a child, I always said it's a zebra.
Ah, nice one. So you already mentioned a little bit about your story, that you are an effective altruist, that you studied mathematics and political sciences and ultimately became a consultant. So would you like to tell us a little bit about your story, like what made you study mathematics and become a consultant?
Yeah, it's a bit longer story. So after school, I thought I have to improve the world, and there are so many problems in the world. And I thought, okay, what can I do? And I thought, okay, I will study political science and then change politics so that there are not so many problems perhaps in the world. And after that, I worked as a journalist to inform the public about the problems in the world, and my hope was always that I can influence people's thoughts and perhaps also politics in a direction that to make the world a better place for all. And then one day I heard about effective altruism. I will talk about that later in detail, and decided to switch my career. And then I studied mathematics. For me, mathematics was always been easy compared to other people who often struggle with mathematics. After school, I thought, okay, I can study mathematics, but I have the moral obligation to improve the world. And if I just calculate something while other animals are suffering, it's not such a good idea. But then when I heard about effective altruism, I learned also that you can have a huge positive impact by having a job where you earn a lot of money and you can donate it. So I can combine my abilities and my passion for mathematics with improving the world. And now I work as a business consulting and mainly programming, and I donate a significant part of my income.
What is effective altruism?
Yeah, effective altruism is a philosophy and a community of people who try to live with this philosophy. And it's about to use evidence and reason to do the most good in the world. That means that you try to figure out where you can use your limited resources in the most effective way. So you have a limited amount of time and a limited amount of money that you can use to do good. Yeah, the goal is to do the most good, which is possible with your resources. You can try to figure out in which way you can do it and then act. This is a general concept of effective altruism. Of course, it's not easy to figure out where is the best way to go. So there are three criteria or three indicators to find out which are important problems on which you should work and what you can do. So these three criteria are scale of a problem, neglectedness, and tractability. So I can illustrate it on the example of animal welfare. The scale is huge. If you have a look at the numbers, that there are billions of animals, of farmed animals, suffering in the world and slaughtered every year. It's proven that they can suffer, and they suffer a lot. So there's a huge scale of the problem. At the same time, only very few of attention and of donations try to help these farmed animals. You also have solutions for it. So you know that we can have another agriculture. You don't need to eat animals. You can improve the welfare standards, etc. And it's so you know the solutions, and it's easy to implement them. You can change the system. So a good reason why animal welfare, especially for farmed animals, is an important topic where you should work on.
I have another question about this notion of effective altruism. I was wondering what does it include apart from donations? Is it only about donations, or you also can be an effective altruism by acting in different way, by volunteering or by changing your habits or any other kind of commitment that you can do to actually create a positive contribution? Given that we are students here, so, and our listeners, I guess most of them are students, so having quite a limited budget, how we can make sure that we contribute in the most effective way?
Yeah, effective altruism isn't only about donations. It's a part of it, and it's a very impactful way to do good, but there are plenty of other ways to do good. For example, volunteering or working for an effective non-profit organization or whatever. Effective altruism is about doing good in a general way, and effective giving is about donations. And there's also a concept which is called earning to give. So that's a strategy I'm following, that you choose a job where you can earn a lot of money and then have the possibility to donate more. But of course, it's not the best way for all people. If you live in a rich country, in a Western country, you normally have the financial resources to donate. If you work, you normally can donate 10% of your income. If you're a student, it's perhaps not 10%, but perhaps 1%. You can donate, you can volunteer for effective charities, whatever.
So you mentioned a lot of things about effective helping, and that donating is not the only way. And you said also that you use scientific method to determine what is effective. But how do I now determine what is effective, like whether my donation has an impact or whether my volunteering has an effective impact?
Yeah, the good news is that there are already some people who try to figure out where to donate to effective charities. There's, for example, one META organization. It's called Animal Charity Evaluators, and they evaluate different animal charities and try to figure out which is the most effective, or which are the most effective charities. So you could have a look on the website what they recommend. But of course, there are other charities where you can have a look at. For example, there's the Effective Altruism Animal Welfare Fund. And there are also some other good organizations. I personally think that, for example, the Good Food Institute or ProVeg do amazing work. And also that animal advocacy in some other regions of the world is underestimated or is underfunded. So you can donate to animal charities in other parts of the world. And there's, for example, one organization which is called Animal Advocacy Africa, which supports animal charities in Africa to be more effective and so on. So this would also be options where you can donate.
Is it that we should donate to the organizations that are big and that are impactful? For example, some international associations that have a very big network in different countries, or if it's a local organization, national, let's say, but still they are quite big, and they that means that they can create a big impact. So my question is, does it mean that we should rather choose to donate to these kind of associations rather than just to support small local organizations that you find very nice because they are doing good, but they are not big enough to create an effective impact?
Yeah, it's hard to say in general. Yeah, bigger for local organizations, it's quite difficult to measure the impact, so you have to do it yourself. There are no other organizations which try to evaluate their impact, as it is for bigger organizations. So Animal Charity Evaluators doesn't evaluate your local animal rights group. There are some arguments why you should donate to a bit bigger organizations which are evaluated and where you can be sure that they are effective. But however, if you know that one specific group or organization is very impactful, you could also consider to donate there.
Yeah, I see your point. Thank you so much. If no one will support small local organizations, they will never become big ones, right? Sometimes we see it as there are local initiatives that have brilliant idea, and in theory, this could, if they grew bigger, they would have a large impact. But if we come from this idea that we should already financially support only big organizations that already have this impact, this money will never get to this local organization, and they will never be able to grow to the same scale, you know?
Yeah. That's totally correct, and that's also one reason why, for example, Animal Charity Evaluators has also a fund which is called the Movement Grants. So they support smaller organizations around the world where they don't do their in-depth analysis about their effectiveness, but they think they could be highly effective, so that the smaller organizations can grow. I think also that it's important to have a diversity of organizations in the animal movement. Yeah, that's the reason. If you think you would like to donate to smaller organizations, then I would say that these movement grants from Animal Charity Evaluators would be a good choice where you can donate to. So it's a fund, and they give the money to 30 different smaller organizations around the world. And this would be a good opportunity.
I see. Thank you so much. To follow up on what you said before, you mentioned the percentage of the income that can be donated in order to make a contribution effective. And here I just wanted to clarify whether you're talking about the gross income or net income, meaning that is it 10% from your general income, your salary that you get, or something that stays after you have covered your basic needs, you have paid your rent, transport, etc.
On the one side, it's important where you donate, so there are huge differences between different organizations, how effective 1 euro, for example, is. If you compare, for example, a local group which has a shelter and which tries to care about animals in the shelter, or if you donate to an organization which tries to promote vegan lifestyle and is caring about farmed animals, with 1 euro you can be much more effective. For example, if you donate to charities which focus on farmed animals rather than on pets, for example, because really a neglected cost area. If you see the numbers, how much money is donated to shelters, how much money is donated to organizations which focus on pets, for example, it's much, much more than the money which is donated to organizations which care for farmed animals. But on the other side, there are much more farmed animals living here and suffering than pets, for example. There are also easy ways how you can improve the welfare standard for farmed animals, or how you can promote a vegan diet and save lives of thousands of farmed animals. It's not about the amount of donations, but it's also where you donate your money. And concerning the amount of donations, there is an organization which is called Giving What We Can, and they promote to donate 10% of your income. It's a gross income, and they support a community of people who pledge to donate 10% of their income over their lifetime or until they retire. You have to say that even if it's a gross income, it's not such a big difference to net income, because normally you get your tax refunded if you donate your money to a charity. Of course, the charity must be recognized by the state, and then it's your donation is tax deductible, so you will get back your taxes which you paid before. So it's not such a big difference between gross and net income.
So basically, we have it about two different things, the selection of the charity that is an effective one, and also about the amount of money and of which we can get some of the money for which we already paid taxes back. What interests me about the selection of the charity is like how to make a proper judgment. For example, you said you can donate to charities improving the welfare of living animals who then still get killed in the end, or to donate for charities promoting a vegan lifestyle or lobbying for politicians. And how do you balance the impact of these two? Because I think there are very different categories, aren't there?
Yeah, it's a difficult question. So there's not a general answer to it. It depends on your personal values and how you judge the effectiveness of different measures. So you can... for example, if you want to improve the welfare standard, you can you have some organizations which start campaigns and which talk to big corporates and ask them to accept higher welfare standards. So if you are successful in negotiating with these big companies, you can really improve the lives of millions or billions of people. Of animals, but normally you only have very small improvements. On the other side, you can try to promote a vegan lifestyle or to promote more meat alternatives and so on. Individual outreach can be hard sometimes. It's not so easy to change the eating behavior, but on the other side, if you can convince a company to sell more plant-based foods, you will also have a big influence, and you can save the life of thousands of animals, or even millions perhaps. But in general, there's no clear answer, and it depends on what you think is more important. I don't know.
Honestly, I find that a bit problematic, because first we had it about that it's about the impact, about the consequences, so about something quite measurable with more or less scientific methods, and just saying, oh, it's a value thing. I think there must be an answer. Maybe it's an answer that's difficult to estimate, but also, for example, with the welfare improvements, I think that there's a difference between short-term and long-term improvements. I have to think about Switzerland, where they had the referendum of banning factory farms, and actually they voted against banning factory farms, and one of the main arguments against banning factory farms was that Switzerland has basically the highest welfare standards. So maybe some welfare improvements might also lead to more suffering in the long run. So that's also an objection that I often hear. What do you think about that?
I don't think that it's true. I think that it's more a step into the right direction. And if you have higher welfare standards, one direct consequence is that the meat or the animal products will get more expensive. So you can assume that the consumption will decrease a bit. I think that if you have higher welfare standard, it sets a new standard also for other countries. I don't think that people think, okay, we have welfare standards which are high enough. I don't think that people say, okay, then it's fine and we can eat meat and animal products as much as we want. I think it's one step also to increase the awareness for animal suffering in factory farms. I think it's one step in the right direction. But perhaps it's easier to convince people to go vegan directly. So this is hard to measure how effective the different measures are. And it's also a question of your personal values, because you can think, what do you think about animals which have higher welfare standards? Is it good for them to live with higher welfare standards, or do they suffer and it would be better that they don't live? It's a question of your ethics, and you can't answer it for all people.
Thank you very much for your answer. Yeah, I get the point that rising prices that they might actually in the long run lead to a decreasing consumption of animal products. Still, I have my problem with the it's about your values, what you find important. Of course, in practice, this is how we make decisions based on what we find important. But if we try to aim for empirical methods to determine the impact of something, we basically have one value, which is welfare, or like a spectrum between suffering and well-being, and this is more or less, at least if I understood effective altruism correctly, the only value that counts. And then, of course, we have it about questions how to measure it, how to define it, and there are uncertainties. But I'm not sure if that's a question about what I personally find important.
Yeah, the goal of effective altruism is to do the most good, and it's not clearly defined what is the most good. So there are some people who say, okay, let's avoid suffering, and other people, yeah, let's increase well-being. And so you can have different moral views about that and be an effective altruist. It's a more general theory or more general philosophy, and it doesn't say anything about utilitarianism, negative utilitarianism, or whatever.
I just wanted to step away from this more financial part, the donations, and talk about something that I've been really interested in for a long time, which is volunteering, and what is the role of volunteering in effective altruism. Because recently I just bumped into some information that volunteering was no longer considered as effective ways to create an impact, and I was just curious to hear your thoughts about it.
Yeah, in effective altruism, it's about how to use your time in the most efficient way. That may be that you work for money and donate it instead of volunteering, but it could also be that you volunteer for an organization. So you have to balance, or you have to try to find the best solution for that. However, there are other benefits of volunteering. Perhaps you don't want to work more and donate it, but you are happy to volunteer because you are happy to engage with other people and so on. So it's not necessary that you can only choose between I do some work for money and I donate it, or I volunteer, but it could also be that it's not a trade-off between these two things. And in general, effective altruism promotes skilled volunteering. That means that you volunteer with certain skills you already have, so that it's not just go to the beach and pick up rubbish or something like that. But if you're a software engineer, you could help organizations to program their applications or to develop their website or whatever. Or if you are a lawyer, you can help organizations for trials and so on. This could be good opportunities. And if you're interested in skilled volunteering for animal nonprofits, you can have a look on the website of Animal Advocacy Careers. They have a database of organizations who look for volunteers, and they, in the database, there's also written in which area they look for volunteers, for example, in communication or in technique or in policy work or whatever.
That's a very good point. Thank you so much. Yeah, I also thought that volunteering can also create this sense of proximity with the organization that you would probably donate to afterwards. If you have had an experience with an association, you saw their kitchen, you saw what they're doing, you saw the impact that they are making. After you have come back home, you can actually say that, oh yeah, I know what these guys are doing, and they're doing great, so I'm gonna support them financially, and I'm gonna spread the word and tell everybody around me to also support them, because I know what they're doing.
Yeah, that's correct.
Great. Yeah, also to come back to something that you have just said about the contribution of the skills that you possess of, I think that's a very interesting thought again. And here I wanted to ask something about the career choice that you mentioned before. And I have quite a dilemma question here. If we imagine a situation where I can either go to work in a small NGO that is creating the impact, let's say I'm going to work in a small association that is fighting the animal exploitation, but working in an NGO, I will not earn a lot of money, but I will be a part of this impact. Or I can choose to work in a big international company and to earn a lot of money and to support financially that's the same association. So what is the best option here, in your opinion?
Yeah, it depends on your personal skills and your personal intentions and so on. I think it's the strategy earn to give is often underestimated, because most of the people think, okay, I want to improve the world, I have to work for a non-profit organization. And only few people consider this earn to give strategy. There are many people who want to work for nonprofits, and there are many nonprofits which look for money, for donations. You have to be happy with your job, and if you don't want to work for a for-profit company, you should consider that you have to work in a job for many years. And you have to be happy to pursue your career sustainable. If you don't want to work for a for-profit organization, you should go to a non-profit. Even in the non-profit sector, you can choose between different organizations, and there are high-impactful animal charities. So if you think it's better for you than earn to give, you can have a look on the website of Animal Advocacy Careers. They have a course how to find out where you can work in the animal advocacy movement. They also have skill profiles where NGOs need people. And the other option is earn to give, which could be applied to many, many different jobs. So if you have certain skills, like mathematics or perhaps other skills, language skills, creative skills, whatever, you can also find another job and donate the money. There's no clear answer for everyone, but it depends on your personal wishes, on your personal skills, and so on.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really hope that this will not frighten people away from working in the non-profit sector, because if no one will come to work there, this association will no longer exist. But I do agree that it really depends on the situation. And as I understand, the principle, the concept of effective altruism is to give everyone opportunity to contribute and to create a positive impact, no matter what is your job and no matter which sector you're working in, right?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Thank you for bringing up this point of sustainability, that it's not just about making a short-term decision that you might heavily regret and then don't like it. For example, now you work for this oil company or whatever that you really don't like, and then you do it for 1 year, then you raise some money in this year, and after that you're like, no, I cannot do that anymore. Maybe you can develop some nice skills there and then effectively have an NGO. But I think that it's just a very important point to look at sustainability, that it's something you can do for a longer time in order to have a great lifetime impact and not to impose a lot of suffering on yourself.
Yeah, perhaps I should add that just for a rough estimate, how much impact you can have through donations. If you choose a job where you earn a lot of money, for example, this year I plan to donate about 20,000 euros to charities. I have this possibility because there are such big differences in salaries between different jobs. For example, I earn twice as much as I earned during my time as a journalist. It's perhaps interesting that to hear this amount of donations when you consider, should I do earn to give or should I work directly for an animal nonprofit?
I think it sounds like a huge amount of money, 20,000 euros. Can you maybe translate it into impact? Like what can 20,000 euros do? What do they mean for the animals?
Yeah, it's hard to say because animal charity evaluators had some estimates on how many animals you will impact or how many animals you will save from having a life in factory farming. The problem is that there's a high uncertainty, and that's why they at the moment they don't publish any numbers on that. But however, you can guess that with 20,000 euros you can be sure that you will save the life of thousands of animals or farmed animals, where you can improve the lives of thousands of animals. But exact numbers, I could look up what animal charity evaluators calculated some years before, but I think if they don't publish it anymore, it's a sign that there are such big uncertainties that it's not very serious, or it's not very reliable to have these numbers, because it's very difficult to predict what a certain measure will have as a consequence.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, I think it reminds me a little bit of the point that Anastasia made before, that people are more likely to donate if they actually know what's happening, like if they have a connection to the charity. And I also think, like, if you know, hey, now I donated money and now they made a certain campaign or whatever, which saved that many animals or had this impact, that would be just very great to have a little connection to the impact that you have.
Yeah, of course.
Is there any way for you to trace the impact that you have?
Not that I would say, okay, my impact is on X thousand animals, because I think it's hard to predict. However, you can see what animal charities are doing, and you can see progress, that you have more vegan options in many countries, that you have higher welfare standards, and so on. So you see that there is an impact. But and I know that I contribute to this progress, but it's too difficult to say exactly, okay, I helped 10,000 animals or whatever.
I mean, a number is probably not necessary, but I think it's usually nice to say, hey, I contributed to this charity, and then based on my donation and other donations, of course, they made a campaign for, I don't know, to make veganism popular in the environmental movement, which in turn turned a few more people vegan, or to have a vegan standard lunch at universities or other institutions, which then made a certain number of dishes vegan or whatever, like stuff like that. I think that would also be very helpful.
Yeah, you can see in the reports of animal charity evaluators, you have reports about different charities, and you can read what is their money, which they use every year or the last year, and you can see what they did last year. So there are different campaigns, for example, and so you have an impression what is done with your money, and you can calculate what is your part on this on these campaigns, for example. If you see, okay, I have perhaps 1% of the donations, which is quite much normally, but perhaps you have 0.1% of the donations for an organization, and then you know, okay, one in thousands of this these campaign you have financed it.
Do you have a favorite campaign that you supported?
Not a certain campaign. So I, of course, I have some favorite organizations where I donate to. I already mentioned that I donated to Good Food Institute, which tried to make alternatives to meat more affordable, more tasty, more cheaper. I also like ProVeg International. For me, it's also important to support animal nonprofits in other regions of the world. So I will say that it's very important to grow the movement there, and that's why I am very excited about the work of Animal Advocacy Africa, for example. So I donate since I'm a child, if I don't need the money for myself, I thought, okay, I can donate it. And in general, I think this kind of activism is underestimated. For me, I think it was a perfect match, because for me, mathematics was easy, and I can find a job where I earn a lot of money and I can donate it. As I said, it depends on the person, but for me, it was a good match. And concerning Giving What We Can, so I already mentioned it, it's an organization which supports people who pledge to donate 10% of their income to effective charities. The idea is, and there are more than 9,000 people who pledge to donate. And the idea is that in which country you normally can donate 10% if you work. And they recommend to donate 1% of your income if you're a student. And as soon as you begin to work, you can donate 10%. So I would say that's one thing you can do as a student: just sign the pledge. So you already signed the pledge, and then it's easier to just switch to 10% when you get more money from your job.
Yeah, that's a good idea to start with, I think, also for our members, because I think 10% for a student, it sounds like a lot, because all the money goes into, especially in the Netherlands. I don't know, I know in Germany, the prices also went up, but I think in Utrecht, where we are based, the renting prices are quite high. So most of the money that we get, goes into food and living. So, but 1% seems more doable.
Yeah, exactly. It's called a trial pledge, so you can give a percentage as you want. I think 1% is the minimum, but you can just say, okay, I will give 1%. And there are some advantages to sign the pledge. Perhaps it's easier for you to stick to your commitment if you have this public pledge. So you pledge it in a public way, so you say to all people in the world, okay, I will donate X percent. And another advantage is that you can inspire other people to do the same, or to donate perhaps a small amount, whatever. And so your impact is bigger if you can inspire other people.
It's a little bit like with veganism, right? Where you also say, okay, I commit myself to being vegan, and then I also show that it's possible and try to convince others.
Yeah, in many countries, charities are tax deductible. And in the Netherlands, the easiest way to donate to impactful animal charities is via the website of Giving What We Can. It's givingwhatwecan.org/donate, or to a website. I don't know if I pronounce it correctly. Donor Effective. It's a website in Dutch, so I can't understand it. But yeah, it's also with some organizations which are very impactful.
When we're choosing charity or charities that we want to donate to, is it better to go just for one organization, or we can select a few of them that look the most interesting to us and to split the amount that we want to donate between them? Or how does it work? What is the best way?
I would say for a single donor, you could just donate it to one charity, because your amount of money is not huge for the charity. For example, if you want to donate 1 million of euros, I would advise you to not just donate it to one charity, because it's perhaps too much for them that they can't use it in a sensible way. But for normal donors, it's okay to donate it to one charity. However, if you can also donate to several organizations, or if you don't know exactly which is the best organization, you could also donate to some funds. So, for example, the movement grants from Animal Charity Evaluators, where you donate to a fund and then all the money from the fund is distributed to several smaller organizations.
That's a very good thought, a very good point. I really like this idea with the donating to a fund. It's to let people that are more experienced in that decide where it's better to send money to, because I'm speaking for myself currently. I'm quite lost with that amount of organizations and associations that there are in the world. They're all creating some kind of an impact. Also I just wanted to bring this point up, that I believe that it's really interesting what we're talking about now, and I think that would be interesting thing to do for us and for our listeners, to also set intentions and to try to at least to be effective altruists and to donate some percentage, even if it's just a small amount of money, but to contribute to the organization that are impactful and are helping animals and people and the planet.
We talked about a lot of things, about effective animal advocacy, looking for specific careers in order to make most effective use of the skills that you have, or just donate a lot and to effective organizations. But then, no, I think we as a vegan student association are also a sort of organization. And maybe you have some advice for us how to become an effective organization.
Oh, it's a difficult question. I think you're doing great work. Yeah, perhaps some advices, but I would assume that you already follow them, is that you should try to convince as many people as possible, and not, yeah, and therefore you should make it easy to become vegan. And for example, it's good to be polite in convincing other people, and not say, okay, you are an animal abuser if you eat meat, because normally people won't react in the way you want them to do. So there are some resources also how to communicate effectively.
It would be great. But I think vegan effective communication is something that is, for VSA, it's a great topic, I would say.
Yeah. And perhaps one other aspect could be that normally you think about individual outreach. So you go to people and talk to them one-on-one, and it's great work. But if you're a student group, you could also try to convince, for example, the university to have more plant-based options. Because if you are successful in such a campaign, you will impact much more dishes or much more people. Just by changing, for example, the default in the canteen. So this kind of institutional outreach can also be very impactful.
Yeah, thank you very much. That's a great idea. And I think it's also important to mention about individual choices. Like sometimes it seems like a way to redistribute our responsibilities. And also, I know you for a very long time, Felix, and I also know that you are vegan, yet that you are doing a lot of individual outreach as well. Maybe that's also important for our listeners to know that it's if you like doing that, please do so. And also, it's very worth doing the effort. And maybe there are even more effective ways, but it's always great to do these things. Thank you very much, Felix, for being our guest today. I think we learned a lot about how to be an effective animal advocate, about how we can use our skills that even if we are not directly working for charities or with animals or have a job related to animals, we can still help them a lot if we do mathematics or computer science or whatever, if we just donate the money. And I think that's a very positive message that everyone can contribute. And also, that if you have skills that are related to animals, that you can use them effectively as well by volunteering for effective charities. So there's something for everyone. And I think that's quite a nice message and also kind of motivating, so that everybody can start and hopefully also will start, and that this podcast might also motivate people to think about how to make effective use of their skills and also their preferences, of their talent, of what they like to do.
Yeah, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk here and for doing this podcast. I think it's really nice.
Thank you very much.